Good evening and welcome to the Auckland Cricket Podcast. My name's Ian Lexon and we have a full pod this evening. It's very exciting. We've got Neil Gray, Neil Rye and Jamie Lloyd are with us this evening. Welcome everyone.
Yay.
Okay, let's get into it. It's the topic on everybody's lips. The Black Caps, they're in Zimbabwe. They were on a roll. They were won four in a row. But overnight, slightly upset apple cart when they lost to Zimbabwe in the third one dayer. Zimbabwe chased down 328 to win. Let's not go into details of that one too much. But is it really the disaster that people are very quick to assume that it is? Considering, you know, we've had, what, one, two, three, four hundreds in this series already. Batsmen are on fire. Do we really need to make a big deal about this, guys?
Well, batting's not the problem.
We still can't bowl.
We can't bowl. That's our problem. Our 30 best overs have been lost to us in that Mills, Southee and Vettori were not there. Vettori because he's retired and the other two through injury. So you got to take it with a grain of salt that those three aren't there anymore or weren't there for that particular game. But having said that, you would have expected that bowling lineup to be able to defend 328 even on an absolute road, which the pitch obviously was. So it was a little bit disappointing. Clearly they went into the innings thinking, we've scored enough, we've just got to bowl it, you know, turn up and we should be fine.
Can't you put it also a bit down to that? It's one of those days, you know, Ross Taylor dropped the guy three times and we missed a few other opportunities as well. Sometimes things go pear-shaped.
Yeah, but you can't constantly, well, I don't think we do constantly say that. It's just one of those days for New Zealand cricket because there's too many of them to constantly say that.
No, but what I'm getting at is we've won four in a row. We've glossed over that like, oh yeah, that's just standard. And then as soon as we actually lose one, then suddenly the knives come out and everything's gone wrong and everybody's cocked up. And I found a really good quote here from an article I was reading online which said that...
great quote.
Crap. Didn't print out.
You didn't print it.
So we'll just carry on. It was a brilliant quote, everyone. It really was. It summed it up beautifully.
Nice.
Basically said that, yeah, the great results didn't get a mention, and as soon as we lose, everybody suddenly thinks it's time to get online and or get into the media and start
going
on about it. But
this is Zimbabwe, Ian.
It is.
There's a couple of reasons the great results didn't get mentioned. One is there was a Rugby World Cup going on, and no one gave a monkey. This was the one game that happened after the World Cup had finished. And two, the great results weren't all that great, if you look at them in context. Yes, we won them, and we won them fairly well, but certainly in those two one-dayers, Zimbabwe batting first got very, very decent scores against us, and we did do well to chase it down, but the fact that Zimbabwe's got, what was it, 260-plus twice, I think? Or
They got 259, and they got 231.
Yeah, so two decent totals, again, points to the fact that our bowling attack is struggling a little bit. You would expect a New Zealand team to bowl a Zimbabwean team, or at least to restrict them to 200 or under in at least one game. But they've scored 230, 260 and 330 against us, back to back to back.
Okay.
For me, that's concerning.
That is the opinion of Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Does
Anyone
he speak
else?
For you, gentlemen? The Neil squared?
Yes. I'm with Jamie.
That is a fulsome reply. Thank you very much.
Yeah, same pretty much. Yeah, it's only Zimbabwe. To be fair, they're in a lose-lose situation. Win, no one cares, and lose, and obviously knives are going to come out. But in my opinion, the third one day, they didn't do any favours either, given they dropped Guptill, who's obviously in hot form, and Doug Bracewell, who'd only debuted two games earlier and played, you know, was expensive, but bowled pretty well, at least in his early spells. Excuse me. And yeah, then they go and drop him as well.
Don't you think, though, that that indicates that they're basically taking this whole tour as a warm-up for Australia?
Graham Aldridge looked like the bowling superstar we all knew he was going to be.
Yep,
as well.
Indeed, yeah.
I think that was sarcasm, listeners.
No, what I took from that was, one, we got too cocky and complacent, to be honest. If they were using it as like a warm-up for Zimbabwe, then why not play Guptill and Bracewell? You know, if they're in that sort of form.
Well, Guptill's already scored, like, what, 180, another 70 or whatever. They
yeah,
probably
so
figure that they need to give other people and have a go.
Shall we focus on the one shining positive, Ian?
Why not?
Rob Nicol.
Well, he got bugger all yesterday, but in the previous game, you mean?
Well.
He bowled well,
and
he
only bowled six overs. And yet they bowled Graham, the bowling machine, Aldridge,
yeah,
who was going at 8.5 and 0.
Well, this pod has already put it on the line that we are pretty much in love with Rob Nicol and think that he's fantastic. So that's no great surprise to us all around this table.
When you're looking for positives.
Oh, look, I'm positive already. I don't have a problem.
For me, that's
just
brought
you
up
negative
another
nasties.
Negative. That brought up another negative is the captaincy of Taylor and the use of his bowlers in that particular
Warning,
game.
Rant about to start. James.
You had Aldridge and Mackay going for plenty, and they basically bowled their allotment of overs, whereas I think both Oram and Nicol were our two least expensive bowlers and had overs up their sleeve.
Not
in
either
a game
podcasters.
Came...
Jamie is defending Jacob Oram.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's probably the best bowler we've got in the team at the moment.
My God, we got that on tape.
For the Oramites out there, go crazy.
That's the second pod in a row I've said that, actually. Except my last pod was about four pods ago. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I just question Ross Taylor's tactics there and also his catching ability.
Sounds like another Samoan captain we know.
Oh.
Big ups to Ben. Hope you're listening. Okay, well, they've got a test match to come. Reinforcements have arrived in the shape of Chris Martin and Dan Vettori for that game. So we would hope that that should be a fairly one-sided affair. But Mr. Taylor of the Brendan variety is obviously in pretty good form for Zimbabwe. But you kind of feel that in that five-day format, their batting in particular is probably going to be found out.
The other guy had a good 99, Waller. He looked like a handy player.
First thing he's done, though, isn't it, in the series? Yeah.
But he batted pretty clever, and he batted for the team. So
They've actually got a pretty decent batting lineup, to be fair. You know, as much as I'm berating the New Zealand bowling attack, the Zimbabwe batting lineup is probably darn sight better than their bowling attack is, much like our team.
They have Tino Mowoyo coming in for the test matches.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's got 150 against Pakistan.
Yep.
So, obviously, he's decent. And to be fair, like, who's our bowling attack?
Well, it'll be Martin Vettori.
Southie's back.
No, he's out for the whole tour.
Bracewell.
Oh.
Bracewell will probably play. Franken will probably maybe play in Balsam Overs. Maybe Oram will as well. I don't know.
Incredible knowledge of random things. What about N cube? There's not much of a better name than that.
Newbie.
Yeah. N cube. Whatever.
That's the way you pronounce it. Newbie.
I like the name Keegan Meth.
Yeah.
If only there was an S on the end of it. But yeah.
some classic names from the Zimbos.
But yeah, I worry about a bowling attack, to be honest. I wouldn't back that bowling attack to even bowl Zimbabwe out twice in a test.
I thought Southie was there, and if he was, I think that would make quite a difference. But now that I know he's not, yes, I too fear that we will struggle to take 20 wickets.
So it's Nathan McCollum as well.
So, good times for the Black Caps and positive vibes coming from the pod for their future chances.
Is our favourite player Rob Nicol in the test squad?
No,
mine's not pretty sure.
In the test squad? He's not in the test squad, is he? Rob?
I'm not.
I don't think he is. I think he was named for the one day as in 2020s, but...
Is Aldridge there in the test squad?
He is now because Miller's gone home.
See, what I don't get is he's, 33 years old? Meanwhile, the likes of those young CD boys like Milne and Small and Wheeler...
You can't have Milne. Milne will snap in half if you put him in a test match.
Sure, but you know, what's the point of playing Aldridge against Zimbabwe if he's only going to be stopgap?
That is a fantastic question, Neil.
I don't think that's the place to bring Milne over, though. I think it's too early for him. I think they brought him in too early when they played him. To start with, I think he needs another season of domestic cricket.
Really?
Just
those are just three examples. I suppose the point was Aldridge is going to be around for 2 years.
Yeah.
Michael Bates, anyone?
Bates.
Yeah.
How did he not make
Bates is the bigger mission, really.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know if there are too many other candidates who could replace Aldridge, really, but I'd say Bates would be the big one that you'd have to point fingers at and go, well, what more does he have to do to get in there?
If you're listening, Batesy, you're sleeping with the wrong people.
Yeah. Well, those checks are going missing in the post, bud. You really need to sort that out.
Is Trent Bolt injured? I mean, he's contracted and he's not over there for any of the formats. He's got to be injured, right?
As we alluded to previously, New Zealand contracting doesn't actually bear any resemblance to team selection.
Jimmy Franklin doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, and he's there.
He's in every format.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't
have a central contract.
Oh, well, okay. Refer to my previous statements.
He has IPL millions.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Okay, it's turning into a ramblathon. So we're going to move...
I love ramblathons.
On to our next topic, which is keeping with international cricket. And look, I'm confused now after the England-India series has got to the end of the one day. When they were playing in England, England were the best team in the world and couldn't do anything wrong. India were a big pile of poo who hadn't turned up to play anything. England go to India, now they're a big pile of poo who can't do anything right and have just lost 5-0. And India are gods. So tell me, which one's right and what the hell's going on?
This series as well, India was without Sehwag, Tendulkar, Gambhir. Oh, Gambhir came back out here. Zaheer wasn't there.
England were without Jimmy Anderson and Owen Morgan.
Yeah, and Peterson for the latter part.
Yeah.
So you probably can't read it too much into that series, probably.
Yeah. There was a lot of... England played a lot of guys for the first time.
They got their asses kicked, though. It wasn't close. It was, like, thrashed.
5-0, yeah. Through this period where England have been very strong... One day cricket still probably hasn't been there.
Yeah, it's
forte
still
there. They're now number one in the world T20, number one in the world, I think, Test cricket. But one day they're still a little bit up and down. So they beat India at home, but struggled to beat them away. So that's probably a little bit par for the course, I think.
Yeah, India's always been a hard place to play as well.
So you think that one day result at the end after the Test series back in England was really just a momentum thing on the back of whopping them in the test matches.
Screwed.
India were gone, already home kind of thing.
Yeah.
Didn't something similar happen in the Ashes where I think it was the reverse result. England
got
pumped in the one
days,
but they didn't give a rats after they'd won the test series. So they didn't even turn up.
No,
it was the
Ashes that Australia smashed them.
Yeah.
Then England won the one day after that. Collingwood got a couple of hundreds and stuff.
In this case here, obviously India is world champions and, you know, one day cricket, so couldn't care about, you know, the series in England, and then the test series would have been a big one for them. So after that, like, to be honest, who cares?
Succinct summation from Mr. Rye. Who cares?
Play the one day as first.
They have, haven't they?
That's all they've played. That's it.
No, as in the test series in England was big thing after the World Cup. That was gonna be the biggest series for the rest of the summer. And the fact that there's been two one-day series after it, I don't think either team really cared about it.
Right. But don't you think this is the way to start the Indian Tour is the way to do it, isn't it? Have it
but
first up.
That's it. Indian Tour's over.
Oh, so they don't play any test matches?
No, they're coming home. No, they play 2020. And then
that really is stupid then.
Yeah.
That's surely just for money then, isn't it?
Yeah, and the crowds were bloody low.
Well,
terrible.
Yeah, there's articles about saying how appalling the crowds were.
Really?
Well,
cricket doing stuff just for money?
It's crazy, I know, but apparently it's true. And on that note, we'll go over to the ongoing trial of Salman. But no, we won't. We're going to leave that, although there's a shed load of international cricket going on elsewhere. West Indies are playing somebody as well, aren't they? And
Bangladesh.
Pakistan are playing Sri Lanka. South Africa are taking on Australia. That's about as even as you can get. One all in the 2020s, one all in the one dayers, with one more to go, plus another couple of test matches. And unfortunately, I don't know why that is not on telly when seemingly everything else is in terms of cricket, but unfortunately that isn't. So
live stream people.
Yeah.
Pirate internet.
We don't condone any of that kind of behaviour in this podcast, but yeah, whatever Neil said. Australia vs South Africa, do you have any opinions on who's going to take that one out? Because it's neck and neck at the moment.
I've got an opinion because I've got $5 on it.
Right, fair enough.
Australia will take the one-day series. That's all they care about at this stage.
There have been interesting results as well, because there's been a couple of blowouts and then a couple of tight ones as well. So it's very open.
I'm not sure on the one-days. I think South Africa will win the test matches.
Really? Ryan Harris just recorded career-best figures, 7 for 60 playing for Queensland back in Aussie, priming himself ready for the test series in South Africa.
Who were Queensland playing? South Australia?
I don't know. My research didn't go that far.
South Australia.
They've got a few young guys, right, Australia, in terms of their pace attack. So
yeah, this new... The, what's the new
Cummins.
Kid? Yeah, who they're all going...
Philip
you know,
Hughes.
Creaming themselves
up. Up there at the top of the order. Shane Watson's carrying an injury.
He's out of the one day, yeah.
Ouch.
This is me pulling my ouch face.
Shane Watson, really? Because he is their key...
That was
really,
him
isn't?
Pulling his ouch face.
He's their team at the moment.
He's the linchpin.
Although, Ricky... Rediscovering a bit of form. Could be in the autumn of his career, but the swan song.
Don't pour dirt on his grave just yet.
Mm. Hey, I'm not sure if we're going to mention this, but they've just...
Hey, the way we're going, we're going to mention everything.
Heck yeah, we are. The latest rankings have just come out today, I think. And South Africa's, like the individual rankings, South African players are almost at the top of all of them. I think Dale Steyn is top of Test bowling, Jacques Cullis is top of Test batting, Morne Morkel is top of one-day bowling, and Hashim Amla is top of one-day batting.
Jeez.
Which leaves...
T20 bowling, T20 batting.
Although, do they even do those rankings? I don't think
do
yet.
It's not even cricket. So
no,
it's
not true.
Yeah.
It just leaves the all-rounders.
Yeah. Cullis is likely to be top
in he's probably
Test
top there.
Anybody think they're quite good?
Yeah, you'd think
yeah.
so. Except we just beat them every time in the World Cup.
It's interesting though, isn't it? They've got all that, yet they are not the one-day world champions. They're not the 2020 world champions. They don't have the number one test ranking.
It is interesting.
You'd be disappointed if you're a South African, really, wouldn't you, to have all that talent, all those number one rankings, and not really have anything tangible to show for it.
Does that suggest they're flat-track bullies?
Does it suggest that at every single World Cup? I think it does. Right, that is officially the end of the international roundup, and we're going to call that officially the end of part one. Part two will ensue very shortly after this very brief musical interlude. Welcome back. Part two is now officially open. We have cut the tape. And we're going to come home back to New Zealand and talk about Plunkett Shield and the Aces and start off with the news of return of Andre Adams, which came about officially last week. He, I think, was always pretty much going to be lined up for one day in 2020, but now he's going to play the first four Plunkett Shield games for the Aces as well. I don't think I need to ask this question, but I'll put it out there anyway. Think that's a good idea, guys?
Yes.
Great idea.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, that provoked a great deal of discussion and interesting debate. Okay, fantastic that he's there. Just leading on from that, then last year we had Andre plus his namesake buddy Jimmy Adams for the HRV Cup. Do you think the Aces need another overseas pro for the HRV Cup this year?
Yes.
Okay, who would we like to see? Well, actually, guys, do you think?
Not especially, not from a cricket point of view, but if we're talking from a financial point of view, then yeah, probably.
Okay, that's one each, Jamie.
Yeah, I don't really care either way. In terms of
from
a cricket point of view, I think the Aces have a good enough squad to win it and defend their title with what they've got. However, yeah, to pull crowd numbers and for interest's sake and maybe for going forward into the Champions League or other tournaments later, a marquee big name player may help.
Right. So basically you should get Tillagratney Dilshan, Michael Clarke, and about four other massive name players to play one game each.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it worked for Northern last year.
Yeah, yeah, they steamrolled that competition.
It's a shame that Shahid Afridi's come out of retirement again. Otherwise, he could have been a good signing.
Yeah, that's remarkably has coincided with the stepping down of the chairman of the board in Pakistan cricket. Has it? Yes, has rescinded his
and
retirement. And the coach, yeah. The wonderful world of Pakistan cricket takes another turn. Yeah, we haven't got time to go into the machinations of that one this time. But, okay, so let's talk about the Plunkett Shield. Starts on November 7th, Aces v ND up in Whangarei at Cobham Oval. And what do we think? A couple of things. How do we think the Aces are going to do? And also, who do we think are going to be the people to beat in the Plunkett Shield?
I think we'll be better this year because Tim Mack will play most of the Plunkett Shield.
Yep.
And that's a big bonus.
The man who is sitting and is, I think, only about maybe 150 runs off becoming the all-time greatest run scorer for Auckland.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then there's a few other guys out there that, like Parlane, maybe might get a go.
Ooh, you think?
Well, maybe. Who knows? He's got the first-class pedigree. They need someone that is, like, we're a good 50-over one-day team, but it's all about batting time, and much as I love Dutchie, it's not his forte.
I think, batting was a weakness for us last year, definitely, and we do need to have more runs there. I think, though, that especially early on, it's going to be the bowling that is going to look a bit weak, because Daryl Tuffy is definitely out for the first month, possibly two, I think, of the season, and that's now got Andre in, which is good. But Chris Martin will be away with the Black Caps.
Kyle's injured.
Batesy, Bruce Martin.
You've already gone to spinners after two pace bowlers.
No, I'm just trying to figure out who the bowlers will be. probably Boots, probably play two spinners, and then
it's pretty rare that anybody plays two spinners in New Zealand.
We'll buck the trend.
Basically what I'm trying to say is the pace bowling, if you go past Batesy and Andre, who's next?
Dean Bartlett.
Exactly. No offence to Dean, who I know will be listening, but that is first class games in his entire career.
He's one of the few guys that have come out of the shadows and announced themselves as a listener. We're backing you.
Hi, Dean. I agree. I think we're struggling. But every year over the past two or three seasons, some guy who has not really been in the top, you know, three or four pacemen has come into the side and really made a name for themselves. I think 2 years ago, might have been three now, it was Lance Shaw, and had a stellar season, you know, made his way up to the A's. The last couple of seasons, it's probably been Batesy. So, there's guys there. I mean, both Shaw brothers are there. There is Dean Bartlett. I'm sure there's some other guys around.
Jimmy Carr from Takabuna.
Yeah, who will step up into that third seamer spot, and who knows, they could be the next superstar that we unveil.
Lockie Ferguson from Parnell.
Josh Priestland, yeah. I don't say that because he's went to my school, but yeah.
St. Peter's.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Mylarge has bowled a few overs, hasn't he?
That's off spin, though.
Oh, really?
No nepotism in this pod, listeners. We don't push any barrows. We're totally impartial.
We can't do any worse than we did last season, right?
No, that's true. The only way is up, as Yaz famously once said. We've got plenty to aim for and nothing to lose. So that is good. Although I'd be a bit depressed if we had to go through again.
Same as last season, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Martin Crowe.
Yes, he might, rumour has it, be making his debut for Cornwall in the two-day competition when that starts in a couple of weeks.
Can he still bowl?
Yeah, exactly. And if I bring him back, you know, where's, I've got no one. Tom McKenney.
I think if Martin Crowe was bowling these days, it'd be Jerry Coney, Autumn Leaves, rather than anything else, wouldn't it? Be a couple of paces and just...
True.
Tumbleweed stuff. Okay, but we've completely ignored the other half of my question. Well done. Who?
Canterbury.
Canterbury. Okay.
Otago.
Is that just because you like Otago?
No.
Oh, okay. Why?
Because they have got Aaron Redmond playing for them all season, who tends to score a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm.
Cumming always scores a lot of runs. They've still got Wagner.
The top wicket taker in the Planetshire last year. Yep.
And they've got some Derek de Borders looking like he's on the edge of a breakout.
Jamie is making spin motions at the moment. We have no idea
what
he's doing.
They've signed Dimitri Mascarenhas, but I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For the HRV guaranteed. But
that guy must like
Dunedin.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not sure whether he's going to play earlier.
Maybe he gets paid in beer.
Mm.
And then Central Districts have got all the bowlers.
Who?
The young guys.
Taran, Adam Milne, Bracewell.
And then Sinclair to score some runs. And the big guy that doesn't move is
Ingram.
Skibby.
Oh. Oh yeah, and they've got all those guys who don't move their feet.
I think Canterbury will struggle without Reece and Rob and Michael Papps.
Where's Michael Papps?
He's gone to Wellington. Wellington, who were down there battling it out with us.
They don't have any bowlers.
Oh, Mark Gillespie.
Yeah. Wellington are still shit because they don't have any bowlers.
Jeeton Patel, New Zealand contract, so he won't be playing any games for the Black Caps, so he'll be available. They'll have Murali, but that's only for 2020.
Perry Bone.
Northern Districts have lost a lot of guys to New Zealand contracts.
Yep, they've got... Who did they pick up, though? They picked up Brandon Heaney, they got Corey Anderson. Neither of them got contracts, did they? But they're there.
I am feeling confident, people, if we can beat Otago.
It's interesting, though. I think it's quite a year of change. There would be quite a different feel to the whole domestic scene, actually.
Backing the truck up a little bit and how crap the Black Caps are.
We must be pushing...
When is Wagner available?
It's not this season, it's next, isn't it?
Oh man, I'm sure we say this every season.
Yeah.
What's the standard?
It just keeps pushing out.
We're in some kind of weird time warp. No, I think we've got to wait another season, unfortunately. So he's going to rack up another 50 wickets and then he'll probably turn to absolute poop the year after that.
Well, he'll be about 100 years old.
Yeah. Okay, well, so go the Aces. By the time we reconvene next with your listeners, I think they'll be starting the game because it's Monday week. Yes, they will have. So good luck to them in that. They're off to Napier on Sunday for a bit of a practice game against CD to get a bit of time out in the middle and on grass because they haven't been playing on grass in club cricket, which is a beautiful segue into talking a wee bit about what's been going on in club cricket. 3 weeks in now, so three rounds of the Jeff Crow Cup, and we still have four unbeaten teams. Hauck Pakaranga, the champions, remain unbeaten, as do Takapuna, who managed to defend 159 against East Coast Bays, amazingly. Also, the other two are Suburbs and Parnell. Parnell beaten finalists from last year as well. Ben Ray is on a one-man mission to score...
to beat Craig Kachopas, right?
Yeah, probably 2,000 runs away he's going at the moment. He's already racked up, I think, about 330-odd runs in the space of three games. So he is on fire at the moment. We've got who else is in the runs. It wasn't really around for the batsmen last weekend. It was
Brad Kachopas scored a lot of runs.
He has. He got 49 at the weekend. There are a few 80s going around. Savajath Diar, he scored back-to-back 80s.
No, he got 100 the week before.
Yeah, what I meant by back-to-back 80s was an 80 with 100 previously. So you misinterpreted that, Neil.
Sorry.
But there are a few 4-wicket bags. Batesy got 4 for 18. Donovan Grobler got 4 for 16 for Hauck Pak.
He's another one that might come in. He's been on the edge. He's played A's. He's pretty quick. Come back a bit.
Donovan Grobler?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Heard it here first, listeners. Left field call. And just to wrap that up, we've got another round of Jeff Crow Cup action this weekend. Fourth round, still on Ardies, unfortunately. Week after that, first week into November, we'll be onto grass and into the two-day competition, Hedley Howarth Trophy. So for all that news on that and keeping up to date with what's happening, check out our website. It's got loads of information about everything that's happening in club cricket. Right, that is club cricket done and dusted, and that is pretty much us done and dusted, unless my esteemed gentlemen round the table have further things to add.
Not especially, truth be told.
No. Well done, All Blacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
No.
Just sign up to Facebook. The Facebook page. Sorry. Not Facebook necessarily.
I'm pretty sure our three listeners did that months ago.
To the Auckland Cricket Facebook page. Get on there. There's heaps of cool stuff happening and you can join the conversation. It's very exciting. Yep. And you can converse with Neil, actually. So, yep, get on there. We're also on Twitter as well. We're also on YouTube. We're everywhere. So
living the dream.
Yep, get into it. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks when, as I say, the Plunkett Shield season will have started. Domestic cricket will be happening. Oh, that's what I forgot to mention.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
One more thing on domestic cricket. Yep, hold the phone. Domestic Cricket Radio Sport has just announced that they are canning live commentary of Plunkett Shield action for this year. There is already a petition online. There is a Facebook page. Come on, fellas. This is criminal stuff, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. Radio Sport, for a start, they advertise themselves as New Zealand's only 24-hour sports radio thing.
Which it isn't.
No, they stop after midnight. Yeah, they don't want to raise that.
I'm pretty sure when they started, which was 10 or more years ago now, probably 15 years, I can't remember exactly when, that one of the reasons that they actually started the program was because whoever was doing cricket commentary, cricket commentary, must have been Radio New Zealand of some description, can't remember the station, was canning all the cricket commentary, and specifically for, it was 3-day games back then, possibly 4-day games, and that was a big part of their starting up, was that they were going to take over that commentary and serve that need that people wanted it.
Perhaps, just throwing this out there, perhaps we could take over.
Well.
And do live pod cricket commentary.
That would be awesome.
It would be.
It would be pretty uninformed and random, but it would be awesome.
And we'd also have to be at the games, which may be a little bit difficult.
Now, listeners, if you think you can fund that for us, please send donations.
Rhys Young has just got out. That's not possible. Neil, he's in Pakistan playing for the Black Caps.
Yeah.
Oh, some other guy.
Yeah. Suppose we could talk smack whilst watching the New Zealand Cricket Live Scorecards update.
Oh, yeah, true. Hit and refresh.
Yeah, exactly.
Wondering why they keep throwing the ball to the seamer that's going at 7 and over.
Yeah,
probably
it would
it's
be
a green top.
Entertaining if
and every ball's
not particularly accurate.
I just get this funny feeling like tonight's pod is going to be edited a lot.
No, it's all good stuff. No, so if you do actually want to sign up to the petition or like the Facebook page, go to Auckland Cricket's Facebook page because we have got the details up there how you can lend your support to keep live cricket commentary on Radio Sport. Don't know if it's pushing the proverbial uphill, but hey, it's worth a try because it's part of our summer. So that now is officially the end of this podcast. I'm not going to pull any more proverbial rabbits out of the hat. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you in a fortnight's time. Catch you then.